Speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories.
Good morning, everyone. This is Danny Nesvedarani, your host for this Tuesday morning of Speak Up, only on CJSF 90.1 FM. Thank you all so much for tuning in this morning. And before we get started with today's episode, I just want to acknowledge this broadcast, as well as all of our broadcasts, is aired on the unceded and ancestral lands of the Hulkamalum and Squamish-speaking peoples who have been here on these lands since time immemorial. And to start off today's episode, we're going to start off with a bit of music. Not a lot of speaking up yet, but it will come soon enough, trust. And this is from local Vancouver band Computer that I've been very into lately. And a cool thing about being a radio host at CJSF, is if you're into something, you can just play it on the radio. Isn't that cool? So I'm going to provide an example of that with Computer and their song Picture off of their album from last year, Station on the Hill, which is, hey, that's us. Anyways, Computer, Concrete Vehicles, Station on the Hill, only on CJSF 90.1 FM. Hope you enjoy.
I'm not afraid to
And we are back with Speak Up, only on CJSF 90.1 FM. This is, once again, Danny Nesvedarani, your host for the hour. And coming up next, we have a piece that I had done a couple weeks ago. It's been played before, but I wanted to play it again because, I mean, one, it is still quite pertinent, but also there was a bit of a mistake that I made in the original piece where I had talked about the Hootsuite protest in Vancouver, and I had interviewed some people there. I had spoken with Emily Lowen, the BC Green Party leader, during that time, but in my reporting of it, I mistakenly said that there were about 800 people at the event. That number, I think slipped my mind, and it was sort of like a thing where I had just been staring and, you know, it's not staring, but, you know, like listening to the piece over and over, and it's just one of those things that kind of slips past you. It was not 800. It was about 250 or so. And I apologize for the any confusion that may have caused, but here is the revised piece where I say the right number, as well as just, you know, I think I want to play this piece again because it is something that is still ongoing and something that I don't think people in Vancouver, or especially in America, are forgetting about or not dealing with as we speak. So I think it's important to emphasize. So without further ado, here is that piece. Reporting from Vancouver, BC, this is Danny Nesvedarani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM. The cold afternoon rain had little effect on the crowd of over 250 that gathered outside of Hootsuite headquarters in Vancouver, BC. Since it became widely known that the Vancouver-based tech company Hootsuite had a contract with the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, the company's been facing increasing public scrutiny, which led to a public protest outside of the Hootsuite HQ on Friday, January 30th. This protest comes during Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, in the United States' ongoing immigration crackdown, which has resulted in increased state violence and arrests in states such as Minnesota, which recently had two separate killings of protesters by ICE officers caught on video. CJSF went down to the rally, where those in attendance were demanding that Hootsuite terminate its contract and all relations with ICE. We spoke with some people outside the Hootsuite HQ about the significance of this protest for them.
I'm here because my grandfather was a prisoner of war in World War II, so he was fighting fascism back in the day, and I see the effect that it's had on my family in terms of generational trauma, and how it affected my country. An entire generation of young men went to war, and many of them did not come home, and I would hate for that to happen again. And we're seeing the USA play by the same playbook as what Nazi Germany did, and Hootsuite is complicit in that. And we all need to stand up, and now is the time to stand up. So it's really important to me that we take a stand.
I guess I'm here to just let the company involved know that this is not an okay business decision, I guess, at like a really concrete, practical sense. That's why I'm here. But in general, I think I agree with the majority, I think, of Canadians who don't agree with what's going on, and really feel for everyone, for all our neighbors in the South, we're going through this.
Yeah. Thank you. For me, it's just like it's a small way of participating. There's obviously other things we can do, literal boycotts of services and things, but it's hard to know all the different avenues, I guess, I would say. And a lot of it is well hidden, and I know there's ways of finding it out, but you know, just with general busyness, it's a small gesture of solidarity of what we can do. And anything that moves against what's going on down there with the administration is a step in the right direction, I think. And yeah, that's why we're here. Pick up the kids, come to the protest.
I think that what's significant about it is that people often view
evil acts or bad things that's happening really far away from home and kind of absolve themselves of responsibility without realizing that A, it's happening closer to home than you realize, and B, you can do more than you realize. So everyone has access to some level of power and agency, and it's important that we do everything that we can with whatever access we have. So for us, that's showing up and making sure that people know what's happening in our own backyard, and that neutrality only harms the people who are being harmed. It doesn't help anyone else.
Recently elected leader of the BC Green Party, Emily Lowen, was also in attendance, and we were able to speak with her about the importance of this protest, Hootsuite's response to the public criticism they've received, and how the province should address corporations that collaborate with ICE. This includes the Pattison Group, which was slated to sell one of their facilities in the U.S. to ICE, but had pulled away from the deal earlier that day.
I'm here at the Hootsuite headquarters with hundreds of British Columbians to protest their investment in ICE. We saw an incredible victory today with Jim Pattison pulling out of his sale of an ICE facility. And it just shows that people power works, organizing works, and when we can come together as labor unions, as working people and grassroots movements to really force the hand of these massive corporations. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it looks like from what we've heard today, there already has been a bit of a victory even before the next protest at a Pattison facility was supposed to happen, right?
Yeah, so I've shifted the Pattison protest to be more of a public gathering and celebration where we can, you know, discuss what just happened and the next steps. Because we are, I want to see further action from Pattison on this issue. We got a one-sentence press release from them today announcing that they won't go through with the sale. But we do need to see, I think the public needs to see a full disclosure that they don't have any other pending or current sales with DHS or the Trump administration. And so we want to see that sort of transparency, disclosure, and a public commitment to freeze any future action with ICE.
Mm. Do you think provincially, on a governmental level, anything can be done to address international collaborations such as this that are overall just opposed by the general public?
Mm-hmm. Well, we absolutely need to see provincial review of corporate relationships in the province, in nationally. I would love to see more provincial national action on this put forward a clearer policy. And I think also this has surfaced a real issue with monopoly laws in BC and in Canada. You know, Jim Pattison has an effective monopoly on much of our food supply. And so I want to see greater provincial action to break up those monopolies and deliver British Columbians good, nutritious food with public grocery stores.
Okay. Do you have anything to say to Hootsuite?
To the Hootsuite CEO, no. People have flooded the streets today demanding that you cut your contracts with ICE. But given the response, the abhorrent response from your company just days ago, I know that only economic pressure will work. So I'm demanding, encouraging that all of your contracts, whether it be companies and municipalities that do business with you, to end their contracts with Hootsuite until further action is taken.
This has been Danny Nesvedarani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM. This segment would not have been possible without the continued support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada's Local Journalism Initiative. You can also find this piece on frequencynews.ca. And we are back with Speak Up only on CJSF 90.1 FM. And this is your host, Danny Nesvedarani. I hope you enjoyed that piece. We're going to be moving it on to an interview that our very own public affairs and talk coordinator, Nicole Hines, did recently with none other than an R&B and soul artist hailing from Calgary by the name of Kinde. Nicole, since starting here at CJSF, has been doing so many cool interviews with so many cool people, and it's really, really great to see, and I'm so, so very happy and fortunate to be able to share that with all of you. So without further ado, here is Nicole's interview with the artist Kinde.
Welcome to CJSF 90.1 FM, the campus and community radio station here at SFU in Burnaby, BC, where we broadcast from unceded coasts, Salish territories. My name is Nicole Hines, and today I am excited to chat with an artist based out of Calgary, Alberta. Kinde is an independent R&B artist known for vocal R&B and incorporates atmospheric and instrumental elements that fuses R&B and Afro soul. She's known for singles like Dopamine High and is active in the YYC music scene. Fun fact, I used to live in Calgary for about 13 years, so I'm so thrilled to chat with someone in the YYC doing music, especially because I used to work in the music scene as well. So Kinde, hi, how are you? Thank you so much for joining me today.
Hi, I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me.
Hey, I love it. I love it. So everybody, we are recording virtually because I'm in Burnaby and Kinde is in Calgary. So we are doing this on the virtual streets. But before I get started, since I did live in Calgary, what is the weather like there today?
It's actually really nice.
Stop.
We get Chinooks here, I'm sure you remember.
Yes.
So right now we're in the middle of one and there's no snow on my balcony.
Hey, I love it. I love it. So no snow, guys. I love that. I love that for Kinde. Okay, so now I want to let you know that I discovered your latest album, Letters in Love, in the CJSF Digital Library back in December, and I listened to your album. I loved it so much, so I reached out to you. So again, thank you so much for responding.
Thank you.
and chatting with me today. So for the listeners, I will be playing songs from the album throughout today's show, but first we're going to get into some questions, get to know Kinde a little bit. So question number one, can you tell me a bit about the album Letters in Love? Like, what was your inspiration for the album?
I guess it's technically an EP, but my inspiration, I didn't really have like the idea of creating a full length project when I was
Creating
it. I think I was just going through some things and music is my outlet. So yeah. And then I think it was around June, one of my friends, she has this collective, I guess, that she started, and it's called Meet on Neutral Ground. So she gives an artist like a showcase that they can put on. I think she does it every Thursday or every second Thursday, something like that. And she was like, hey, do you want to do this? And I had the slot. So I was like, man, EP singles, I have no idea. And then one day I was just like, okay, I guess I'm doing an EP. And then it took me, I think, like a month and a half to just finalize everything, and then shot it out from there.
Okay, so I love, this is segueing into my next question, because I was going to ask you about the journey of this project. And did it flow with ease? Because I know I talk with artists on, you know, pretty regularly, and sometimes the journey isn't that, it doesn't flow as easily as it could, right? So I'm just curious for you, like, how did the project flow for you?
It's funny because I haven't really sat to like think about that whole, like, what was the beginning until the end. But my very first song that I ever like recorded in a studio was Hanging On. But actually when I did do that song, I didn't necessarily love the mix that I got. So at some point I took it down. And then from there, I just went through the process of making all the songs. And it happened at like just different stages of my life throughout the year. So this happened all through, I guess, 2023 till 2025. Wow, that's crazy.
Wow.
I guess the most stressful part was probably at the end when I was trying to figure everything out, because I had already started my promotion for it, but I didn't have a date that I could tell people. So I was like, oh my goodness, I have maximum of a month to figure this out before people start being like, okay, I guess it's not happening.
And here we are.
Here we are.
I love it. I love it. So, okay. Before we get into some more specific questions about the album, I'm just curious, like, what does music actually mean to you, right? Like, how, you know, like, how, what is that relationship like?
I think that's a great question. When I was growing up, I used to always hear a lot of these artists being like, music is my lifeline. Like, yeah. I don't know where I'd be without it, etc. And I was like, oh, you're just being dramatic. But it wasn't until, I guess, last year that I realized truly, like, a lot of the times I'll start with music and do my thing, whether that's like learning the guitar, actually writing, etc. And then I'll stop. But the one thing that I do always come back to is music. And I think what it means to me is, like, truly it is my lifeline. It's how I get out whatever's going on up in my head. It's how I process the world. And at the end of the day, it's also how I want to leave an impact on the world.
I love it. Yes, leave an impact. I love that. I love it. My next question for you is... how did you get started in singing? And it's going to be a two-part question. So first is, like, how did you get started into singing? And then the second part is, how is it being a singer in Calgary? Because I would, you know, you might not have a lot of other cities to compare to, but you do, you can share how it feels to be a singer in Calgary.
Yeah. How did I get started? I just remember as a little girl, I was just always singing constantly, okay. Just annoying my brothers. And I think it wasn't until grade 7 when I actually kind of started taking it seriously. But that was in a different sense than what I'm doing now. So when I was in 7th grade, my mom kind of pushed me to join the church choir. And back then I was like shy and everything. So I was just like, I guess I'll do it. And then yeah, I've been singing in choir since then. And then it was 2023 when I actually started writing, like, professionally my own music.
Okay.
Yeah. And then, sorry, what was the second part?
The second part is, like, how do you feel being a singer in Calgary?
Calgary, yeah. So in Calgary, I mean, I've been here most of my life. So, yeah, like you said, there's not much to compare to, but... it's nice. And I think that the fact that we're just kind of figuring out our infrastructure here when it comes to the music scene, it's really nice to just watch everyone grow and just watching things take place. And then as well, it's such a vibrant city. Right. I think before I stepped into the music scene, I was like, Ben, I hate it here. I gotta get out. And then I started going to events and I'm like, wow, this is actually really cool. Yeah. And then I got into those events and went from there.
I love it. I love it. I love it. Okay. So my next question now is a little bit about the album or the project Letters in Love. So it's 6 tracks. Right. And would you say that each song tells its own story, or do they cohesively, you know, connect kind of thing?
Yeah.
Or is the project the story? You know what I mean?
Oh, that's a really good question. I think one really cool thing about the fact that this wasn't necessarily supposed to be a project is that each song does tell its own story. Yes. So if you listen to it, there's kind of like a progression, which is so weird because it was unintentional that each song tells a different phase of being in love. So the entire project kind of goes from the beginning of falling in love to the end. You're no longer necessarily in love with that person, but you've now, like, found love in yourself. So,
right. Yeah. I love that. And especially, this is airing in January, but, like, what is coming next? The month of love. It's Black History Month, but it's also the month of love. So I just feel like this project can be a great bunch of tracks to listen to on repeat, guys, because I absolutely love it. And I think you guys will love it too. We are going to play some songs off of the project throughout the show. So you will be able to hear some of that. But I my next question, because we are going to be playing some tracks, do you have a favorite by chance? Or favorites? Or favorites? I mean, sometimes okay. You don't. I'm a mother. I mean, it's hard. I can't say. You know what I mean? So I get it.
Yeah, right? Because they're all my babies. But I think for the lyricism, Dopamine High is my favorite. And that one also challenged me a lot. So okay. That, and then just favorite song in general is, I would say, Dancing in the Clouds.
Oh my gosh. I played Dancing in the Clouds on my show on yesterday, actually.
Oh, nice.
Guys, I have a show on Thursdays. One to two. And so I did play Dancing in the Clouds. It is one of my favorites as well. And that was like a way to kind of get folks to know you a bit, right? They're going to know you more on this show. I'm really happy about that. But I did want to give a little bit of a teaser, a little taste. So I love that. That is, look at us being on the same page. Oh, I will say, it's so funny. My fave is actually Hanging On, which wasn't necessarily your fave in the beginning, but how do you feel about it now?
I actually really love it. I think actually the fact that I did have to go through the process of a little bit of a disappointment at the beginning mm-hmm. to getting it to where I wanted it to be just helped me appreciate it a lot.
Love it. Love it. And then, so I want a couple more questions before I kind of wind things down and get into the music. The first question is, what advice would you give to somebody who wants to become a singer in this city? Because that's where you have, you know what I mean? Like some expertise in. What would you say to somebody who wants to get in, become a singer in Calgary?
Ooh, that's a good question as well. I think personally, the most important thing is that just be authentic and be yourself in mm-hmm. whatever it is that you're doing. Mm-hmm. And then as well, like, don't be afraid to step out into certain spaces where you have open jams. So they've got the Alcove, they've got One Big Jam, so many different.
Yes, One Big Jam.
Yeah, right? So many different places that just foster a safe space for artists to come and be themselves. So yeah, utilize what you got.
Love it. Love it. And my another question that I have before we get into the very last question is, what else do you have in store for yourself this year? Like, this is, the beginning of 2026. I'm not sure if you set goals or anything, but like, number one, did you set a goal for this year? And then what is in store for you, would you say?
I did set a goal for this year. I'm a little scared to say it in case it doesn't happen.
No, speak it into existence.
You're right. Yes. My goal is actually to break out this year.
Hey.
So yeah, whatever I've got to do to get that to happen, I guess that's what I'm doing.
You're already on the radio, dear. You're already on the radio. Look at life.
I was looking at like my radio plays even just from the beginning of this year, and I'm just like, what's happening? But and then you had another question. Sorry.
Yeah, like what would you say is like in store for the year? Like, I know it's early on in the year. It's hard to kind of like say what you expect, but like, are there things happening in the city maybe that you want to partake in, like that type of thing? Or
My goal, at least for myself, is to do a full-length album this year. So that's going to be 12 tracks in total. And what that entails is there's already the 6 tracks from the EP. And then it's going to be like an extension of the EP.
Nice.
To be a full 12 track. And then things in the city. I'm hoping I can perform at Pride this year.
Hey!
And then, I don't know, just trying to just push myself in whatever way I can. So if that is in like taking on bigger stages or like reaching out more for shows and stuff like that. Yeah.
The sky's the limit. The sky is the limit. I love